Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, we want to thank you that as we get into the Word this evening, that we're going to have a great time together. And Holy Spirit, we just invite you to minister to our hearts, minister to our lives, and I thank you that each person here is going to walk away with something which enriches them, transforms them, and just blesses them in Jesus' name. Amen. That's code for challenge. It's going to enrich you, bless you, but challenge you. So this evening, you know, I really just felt led to speak to you about relationships and grace for relationships. And I'm not talking about romantic relationships, so it includes everybody here. It's not just talking about husband and wife, but it can include that. It can include romantic, it include husband and wife, but this is just every single relationship because, I mean, we all have relationships, right? If you don't, then we'll pray for you after the service, but welcome, it's good to have you here. Somebody will connect with you, I hope, and then you'll be able to start having relationships. But you know, the reality is we all need people, right? Is anybody there? Lights are a bit bright, so I can't maybe see you. But we all need relationships, and relationships are important. And you know, as I was meditating on this, I realized that you know, if you want to reach your potential, how many of you want to reach your potential? You want to fulfill your destiny? Then you're going to need relationships. You know, then it's important that you learn how to manage relationships. You will have poor relationships. I know some people have this mentality or mindset that if you want to fulfill your destiny, you've got to have good relationships. Yes, you've got to have good relationships, but you don't, you know, we have this mentality of, I can't have bad relationships. This is the wake-up call I want to give. Wake-up call number one, you will have bad relationships. I'm going to explain it in a moment. You've got to learn how to manage these relationships. Okay, so this is going to be really practical. And I believe you're going to walk away with something for sure. But, you know, I read a statistic that 87% of success in life is directly related to your ability to get along with other people. I heard another statistic that 43.2% of all statistics are made up on the spot. But that's just one I read. You know, it just, but the reality is that an overwhelming percentage of is to do with, or for success in relationships is to do with, or success in life is to do with relationships, right? So let me say it like this. Poor relationships will not keep you from your destiny. Bad relationships, let's call them. I guess, isn't that good news? How many of you like bad relationships? Anybody? Nobody likes bad relationships. How many of you have at least one bad relationship in your life or have had? The rest of you haven't lived. Okay, bad relationships are going to happen. But it doesn't keep you from your destiny. What will keep you from your destiny is your unwillingness or inability to deal with those bad relationships. If you can't deal with them, then they will prevent you from moving forward. So you will have some poor relationships. You will not get along with everyone. How many of you want to get along with everyone? I'm sure everybody wants to, but it's not going to happen. I'll just tell you now. Okay, it'll never happen. And there's nothing that you can do about it. If you think about Jesus, he was perfect, right? He had bad relationships, some bad relationships there. One of his closest betrayed him for a handful of silver. It's true. Go read your Bible, it's there. One of his closest friends betrayed him, and Jesus got killed for it. So, I mean, that's a poor relationship. It helped Jesus fulfill his destiny, but that's another story. The point I'm trying to make here is that you're going to have people betray you. You're going to have people who don't like you. If Jesus had it, you'll have it. The servant isn't above the master. It's going to happen. Okay, tell your neighbor it's going to happen. It's going to happen, that's for sure. So, you know, if you don't have people who dislike you yet, if you don't have people who don't want you to succeed, If you don't have people who literally just hate you and all of that, then you haven't taken a stand for something. Now listen to me. If you take a stand for something, someone somewhere is not going to like it, because we live in a day and age where you know unless you're you know they, what do they call it? You're intolerant. if you stand for something. So if you believe something, then and you say, this is what I believe, then you're being intolerant. Because, you know, you really, the world wants us to nowadays just believe everything. That's okay, that's okay, that's okay, everything's okay. You know, you can believe what you believe, and I'll believe what I believe. And, you know, what I've come to realize is that what I believe works for me. Some people come and they attack what I believe, and they're like, well, you can believe what you believe, but I'm going to believe what I believe. What they believe isn't working for them. So, well, it's working for them in that it's terrible, but it's not actually accomplishing anything good in their lives. And so if, let me put it like this, with everything I'm going to share tonight, if you disagree with it, if what you believe is working for you, awesome. If it's not, then you better listen to what I'm talking about because it's working for me. Okay, and that's not pride, that's humility because it's true. Amen? Okay, that's just the truth. So, you know, if you haven't stood for something, then, you know, when you want to try and please everybody, then you won't stand for something. Then someone will come to you and go, I don't like this. Now, I'm being very purposeful and not mentioning anything. Because I don't want you to close off and say, well, that guy, you know, thinks about, it's not about issues right now. I'm talking about the concept. Okay, I'm talking about relationships. But, you know, you might come and I might say, well, I don't like this or I disagree with that. And then automatically you close your heart off to me because, you know, you're intolerant. But that's intolerant because you're not tolerating what I believe. Right? Anyway, I can hear it's going over well. 2 Timothy 3:12, the first scripture. It's not on you version this evening, but it is up on the screen. You'll have to do it manually. We want to keep you guys from being lazy, so you'll have to look it up yourself tonight. It says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So that means there's going to be people who don't like you if you want to live godly. And I'm sure that every single one of us would say, I want to live godly, right? We're here. Okay, unless somebody drug you here, you want to live godly. Amen? You want to live godly. You want to live for Jesus. You want to live a good life. And if that's going to happen for you, if you start to take a stand and live a godly life, people aren't going to like you. I've got lots of people who don't like me. Ask the leadership team. You know, it just happens. You don't aim for it. You don't want it, but it happens. And there's nothing you can do about it. I've tried, you know, to not let it happen, but it happens. So it's going to happen to you if you're going to mature and start to grow and be more like Jesus. Amen? Luke chapter 6, 26 says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their father speak of the false prophets. And so you know what that's saying? Jesus is saying, hey, be careful when everybody thinks you're awesome. How many of you want everyone to think you're awesome? I do. I want everyone to love me. I want everyone to think, you know, change is the best thing because it's true. And, you know, you want people to believe the truth, but there's going to be people who just think, wow, that guy's terrible. He's so full of pride. He's just, you know, I don't like hanging out with him or whatever they're going to think. And the reality is that I can't do anything about that. But you know what Jesus said? He said, when everybody thinks you're awesome and everyone's speaking well of you, be careful. Woe unto you. Hey, that's what they all say. They all love the false prophets. They all thought the false prophets were awesome. And so if they think you're awesome, they could be wrong. They were wrong about the false prophets, right? So they could be wrong about you. You might not be awesome. So don't just listen to public opinion. There's going to be people who don't like you. That's a good place. Amen. No, I'm joking. It's a sobering thought. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, the point is we're going to have people who don't like us. We're going to have people who are against us. But we mustn't go out and aim for that. We mustn't go out and purposefully be controversial. The gospel's controversial enough. Jesus is controversial enough. What he taught is controversial enough. You don't have to go out and try and make people dislike you. Okay, and be offensive. Don't be offensive, just be. You know, Jesus wasn't going out and purposefully being offensive. He took a stand for truth and people were offended. You can be offensive without, and it's just completely ungodly. And then people can take offense with you and it's godly. Because you're just living, you're loving, you're peaceable, and they take offense. That's what I like the saying. Offense is taken, not given. You know, if you get offended with me this evening, I wasn't intending to offend you. You chose to take that offense. It's on you, not on me. God knows. He knows. Okay? So, it's important. This verse is really awesome. It says, if it be possible. That means it sometimes isn't possible. You see that? If it be possible. Sometimes it's not possible. As much lies within you, meaning it's your responsibility. It's on you. It's not on the other person. It's on you. Okay? As much as lies within you, not the other person, and not, it's not God's problem. It's not his fault. He's not withholding peace in your relationships. It's you and the other person. Now, there's two, it takes two to tango. And so you can do everything possible in your power to be at peace with someone else, and it doesn't work out because the other person isn't cooperating. But just relax, okay? Firstly, let me say, because you're not responsible for them. You're responsible for you, okay? You are 100% responsible for 100% of your side of the relationship. You do all that you can, and then let them decide and make their decisions. You are not responsible for people, you are responsible to people. You are responsible to do your part. And we're going to talk about what is your part this evening in relationships. You do your part, and then it's their baby to do their thing. They can respond or they don't respond. You know, it's like the same with God. He did his part. He sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to die for us, to give his life as a ransom. He did everything he could so we could enjoy salvation. And then he sits and he waits for us to respond. He didn't just sit and wait to respond, actually. He sent his church, his children, to go and tell the world about him so we could enter into relationship with him. And yet people still have the choice, do I believe or don't I believe? And a lot of people choose not to. And Jesus, God, can't do anything about it. You know that. He can't do anything about it. He's done everything he could do about it, but people choose. We've got a free will. Okay, so as much as it be, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. So you do your part to live at peace with all men. Be friendly. You don't have to be everyone's friend. Let that pressure come off of you. You don't have to be everybody's friend, but be friendly. As much as is within you, live peaceably with all men. So that means that if someone dislikes you, don't lose sleep over it. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. You love them. You be at peace with them. You reach out to them. You keep doing your part. If they reject it, they reject it. Let them reject it. It's their decision to reject it. God loves everybody and just keeps loving them and keeps loving them and keeps loving them and keeps loving them. And yet many people just keep rejecting and even say, hey, you don't even exist. I mean, they're crazy. They don't know the truth. The truth is he does exist, but they're like, this God doesn't exist. And God just keeps loving him. We'll see a scripture in a moment where it says how God just even blesses the ungodly. They're experiencing blessing from someone they don't even believe exists. So one of the first major points I want you to take from this evening, just so that you can experience freedom in relationships this evening. This is good news for relationships. Okay, good news for relationships. One of the first points is that you won't be able to be friends with everyone, because not everyone wants to be your friend, especially if you're going to live godly. But then the second major point is God doesn't want you to be friends with everyone. The world speaks the opposite. The world's language is, you know, strangers are friends you just haven't met yet. I'm sure you've heard that before. You know, like a lot of people believe out there, you can just be friends with everyone. You know, the whole world should all just sit in a circle, hold hands and sing Kumbaya because we should all just be friends. And that's a nice idea, but it's never going to happen. Jesus even said he didn't come to bring peace on earth, but a sword. He came to bring division. That's serious business. So he didn't come so we could all be friends. And what he means by that is that the gospel brings division. Okay? If you know anybody and anybody close to you who's unsaved, you'll know that the gospel brings division. Because they don't like necessarily what you believe. It causes friction in relationships. You know, at work or at class or even in your family, maybe you've experienced this where there's just absolutely no validity for them to hate you and dislike you, but they do. They're just against you. And you know what's happening there? It's a spiritual battle. We spoke about this a couple of weeks back. It's not we're not warring against flesh and blood, but there's this spiritual reality going on and behind the scenes which is causing you to be at odds with someone. Because the spirit in them doesn't like the spirit in you. And so, you know, you got to realize that, hey, it's not the people that don't like you. You know, ISIS, we're not against the people. But there's a demonic spirit in operation in ISIS which hates the spirit in you and wants to cut your head off. It's true. So we don't hate, you know, that's why a martyr, someone who gets killed for their faith in Christ, that's why a martyr, before they have their head chopped off, before they're stoned or before they're crucified, can boldly say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because they have this deep love inside of them for the people. Jesus said it, Father, forgive them. The first martyr in Acts, Stephen, he said it, Father, forgive them. And if you read through like a modern day history, even with martyrs, a lot of them, Father, forgive them. Because there's just this love inside of a Christian driving us to, Father, please forgive them. I'm not against the person. I know it's a demonic spirit inside of them. And so, you know, the demonic realm is against you. Now, we've got the greater one living in us, 1 John 4, verse 4. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so you can overcome that demonic force in relationships by loving. It'll drive them nuts, maybe. But you can just love them and love them and love them, and it'll break through eventually. And so they go, you know, I don't know what it is about you. Can you please tell me, like, why are you so nice to me? Why are you just happy all the time? You can go, it's Jesus. You know, I've got a relationship with Jesus, and it's just awesome. You can have it too. There's your ministry opportunity. Amen? So God doesn't want you to be friends with everyone. I bet you've never heard that in church. You've never heard that anywhere, maybe. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to read that verse. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will make my dwelling among them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst, be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Okay, so what this is basically saying, it's basically saying don't have close, intimate fellowship with darkness. Close, intimate fellowship with an unbeliever. Okay? Don't marry one. Marry a believer. Don't date one. Date a believer. You know, and be very careful in business dealings and having your closest friends as unbelievers. It's important that we have friends who are unbelievers because we need to reach out to them. We need to love them. I really hope that there's some unbelievers in your life who you love. That's awesome. We need to have those people in our lives. But they shouldn't be our closest people that we're most intimate with. Okay? We need to, another scripture to kind of illustrate that. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Okay? So God doesn't want you to be friends with everyone. What he's saying there is, hey, are you the influencer or are you being influenced? Are you the influencer or are you being influenced? Now, this is a common, what do you call it, excuse. It's a common, let's be nice and not call it an excuse. It's a common reason why some people want to hang out with unbelievers. Because I need to reach them. And I agree 100%, reach the unbelievers. But most people who use that as a reason, not an excuse, a reason, they don't actually reach the unbelievers. They're just fellowshipping with them. If you want to reach the unbelievers, reach the unbelievers. Don't play games. As soon as you notice that they're reaching you, run. Your soul is more important than having friends. Come make friends in church. We're not that bad. We're awesome. Yeah. So make sure that you're not being influenced and that you're the influencer. Jesus hung out with unbelievers. He hung out with bad unbelievers. You know, he hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors. They're the worst. You know, he hung out with bad people, and yet it didn't affect him. He affected them. So make sure that you're affecting others and they're not affecting you. Amen? Let's look at Paul as an example. Acts chapter 19, verse 8 and 9. And Paul entered the synagogue. So what's a synagogue? A temple? What religion is that? It's not Christianity, it's Jewish, okay? Let's just make that clear. Paul was going into the Jewish synagogue, okay? He was going into the not a Christian church or something like that. He was going into the synagogue for 3 months, and he boldly spoke, reasoning and persuading them. Who? The Jews. Not the Christians, the Jews. Okay, about the kingdom of God, and in there would be Jesus. Okay, so he went, and for 3 months, he was testifying, he was witnessing, he was persuading, he was ministering to them. He was influencing them. And he stayed there for how long? For 3 months. Verse 9. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, what does that mean? When they chose not to receive. When they were no longer influenceable. When they were no longer allowing themselves to be influenced. Okay? And they started to speak evil of the way of Christianity before the congregation. What did he do? Paul withdrew from them, and he took the disciples with him. So there were some disciples amongst them. Paul withdrew, Paul took them away, and he went and taught them somewhere else. So, I mean, this is a good example. Stay amongst unbelievers as long as you're the influencer, and as soon as you see that you can't influence anymore, maybe it's time to withdraw. I'm not saying burn bridges. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, hey, just allow other people to influence you or hang out with some other people. Okay, that might be a bit difficult to chew on, but it's true. You know, so basically, up until now, what I'm wanting you to see is that we have to accept the reality that not everyone's going to like us, number one. And we have to accept the reality that God doesn't want us to be friends with everyone. But as much as is within us, we've got to live peaceably with other people. We've got to seek to be a blessing and seek to be friendly with others, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay, and we've got to seek to manage. How do we manage relationships? We've got to get a handle on this if we want to fulfill our destinies. Amen? So the first point on how to manage relationships that I want to leave with you is that it starts with your thinking. It starts with your way of thinking. And I've seen this. If you see someone with a string of bad relationships, it's like you have this friend. I'm not even talking about romantic relationships once again. I'm just talking about relationships. It's like I'm friends with so-and-so, and then so-and-so, there's an altercation, but, you know, so I move on to the next one. And I'm friends with them for a season, you know, because I've heard people use this as an excuse. You know, I believe friendships are in seasons. And I think some friendships, you know, maybe they're seasons to them, they're seasonal, but it shouldn't be seasonal because you had to part ways because of issues. It should be seasonal because you're moving on other parts of the world, or you're just mixing in different circles now, or it shouldn't be that I don't get along with that person anymore. But that happens. I've got people like that in my life. I'm being honest. They don't want to talk to me. Okay? God still loves me. God still loves them. He loves me a little bit more. But the point is that you do everything in your power to reconcile. And then you just accept the fact that you can't be friends with them. But, you know, if you see someone who's a, what do you want to call them? Like a serial relationshipist. I don't know what we can call them. But someone who just goes through relationships, you know, like they're disposable. If you come across people like that, generally speaking, they're thinking wrong. They've got the wrong worldview, the wrong philosophy about life and about relationships. And that's why I say, hey, you know, what I believe about life and relationships is working for me. I don't have a string of bad relationships. I've got one or two, and they're for good reasons that they're bad relationships. And but you know, most I've got healthy relationships. I've got friendships. I love people. Love people love me. That's great. Most of my bad relationships are just because of being a leader and having to make decisions, and people don't like that when you take a stand. Okay, so I'm justified. but the point is what I'm trying to say is that if you look at people who have disposable relationships in their lives, usually it's because of a problem inside of them. And they move from this one onto the next one, and then from this one onto the next one, and they're taking the problem everywhere they go because they're the problem. The problem isn't in the other person generally. And it takes two to tango, so the problem might be in someone else, but if it's recurring and you just see the same pattern again and again, take a look in the mirror of the Bible. Take a look in the Bible and start to just reflect and see, maybe I'm the problem. You know what? If you're the problem, that's awesome because you can change. You can't change somebody else. So if someone else is the problem, then you may as well just move on because you can't change them. But you can change you. Isn't that good news? If God was the problem, you couldn't change him. He doesn't change. Thank God he's not the problem. You're the problem most times. And so that's why this evening we're going to look at how to deal with you. Amen. So the quality of your relationships is going to be determined by your way of thinking. How you view people, how you view relationships, how you view God, how you view life. Okay? Your worldview or philosophy is going to drive the direction of your relationships and largely determine their success. Okay? The world has an ungodly approach and an ungodly worldview on how to do relationships. I'll explain it. The world has a narcissistic view on relationships. It's a self-centered, excessive view of self. They're more interested in themselves than they are in other people. Okay? It's just self-centeredness. So the most important person in the world or in the universe is me. That's the worldview that the world has. I'm the most important person in the universe. Not Shane, you, me, I. Okay, so what, you go into a relationship and you're like, what can I get out of this? Not, how can I be a blessing to this person? Christ, the Christian worldview is completely different. The Christian worldview in relationships is, how can I leave you better than I found you? If you haven't listened to our relationship series, Happily Ever After, please take it after the service. You know, that's godly dating. How can I leave this individual better than I found them? I don't know if they're my husband or my wife, but how can I leave them better off than I found them? How can I not take what isn't mine, but leave them better off? That's a godly worldview in relationships. Romantic now. Now getting back to just every kind of relationship. How can I be a blessing to this individual? Not what can I get out of it. Some people, some of you maybe, get into relationship or friendship with people because, oh, they work for such and such a company, and you know, that could be my my job one day, or maybe I'll need them one day. You know, that'll be a good connection to have. You know, you can be thankful as a leadership. You know what we don't do? We do not do this. We do not sit in the leaders' meeting and go, so-and-so is new to the church. Let's go on Facebook and figure out what they do. Oh, wow, they work for such and such a company. We could really use someone like this in the church. Isn't that awesome? They must be earning a good salary. I think we should teach on giving. We don't think like that. You know what we think about when someone new comes into the church? Okay, how can we find out where they are at? We do that through discipleship, through life groups. You know, if you start to get involved in the church, if you do a life group, or if you do discipleship, or connect and belong, if you do one of our courses, then our whole purpose with that is to get to know you, figure out where you are, so that we can get you from where you are to where you need to be. And it's not to get you where you are. Where you need to be isn't just a giver. We're not just talking about money. We're not in this for the money. We're in it to help you mature and be more like Jesus, to enjoy the abundant life. Okay, that's the right worldview to have on relationships. How can I leave you better, not deader, not more empty because I took so much from you? Amen? So, the Bible teaches the opposite of the world. Philippians 2 verse 3, it says, don't be selfish. The world says, be selfish. You're number one. Look out for yourself, right? Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. If you're trying to impress others, it's all about you because you want people to like you. I can honestly say I'm not trying to impress anyone. I'm really not. Sometimes I say things up here, And other people will come to me and say, you shouldn't have said it like that because people will misunderstand or they got offended or whatever. And I appreciate it when they say things like that. But it's because I'm just not trying to impress you. I'm just saying what's on my heart and what I feel the Lord saying, you know, and I'm trying to express it and I'm doing it in my personality with my kind of way of doing it. And if it offends you, then you took the offense. I wasn't trying to be offensive, number one. But number two, I'm not trying to impress you. I'm trying to bless you. You can't bless what you're trying to impress. You can't bless what you're trying to impress. So if you're trying to impress someone, then you're stuck in this performance wheel of, now what do I need to change? Ooh, now what I need to change? They like seafood. I hate seafood, but I'm going to like seafood when we go for lunch because I just want them to like me. That's dumb. You need to get out of that bondage. Like what you like and let them like what they like, you know, and find mutual ground. You know, go eat somewhere where you can eat something that both of you like. Or, you know, try it, but don't lie and say, I loved it. Then you start, they take you out there all the time. If you don't like it, tell them. You know, don't try and impress. So, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. This is the Christian worldview on relationships. Think of others as better than yourselves. Okay, so what does that mean? It doesn't mean I think that you're a scum and that everyone's awesome. It means think of yourself as God thinks of you. You're awesome. But just think of everyone else as awesomer. Okay? You're just like, wow, I'm awesome, you're awesome, but I just want to bless you. It's not about blessing me, I want to bless you. Okay? So that's the right perspective. And let's look at what Jesus said. The next verse there, it says in... what's the next verse there? Luke chapter 6, it says, but I say unto you, Jesus speaking, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Hey, that's not what the world teaches, right? Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Go above and beyond what people expect. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. So, you know, we got to be a little bit better than the world. A whole lot better than the world. We got Jesus. So we can operate on a higher level of love than the world ever thinks that they do. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners do that. Do good to those who also hurt you. And if you lend to those who, from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you'll be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Treat people better than they deserve. Treat people better than they deserve. It says there that God is kind and thankful to the God is kind and merciful to the unthankful and evil. So He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. You know, I often used to kind of, you know, when you wait aside at the lift for other people to get in, or you just do kind things like that to people. I used to kind of get irritated because sometimes people don't say thank you. You know, you're waiting at the door and people just walk through, and then you kind of like look and you go, well, I could have said thank you. And sometimes I used to even say, well, it's a pleasure, you know, just to kind of, you know, it's a teaching moment. I'm a teacher, so I take advantage of those moments. And so I've got many stories like that. I'm not going to tell them now, but very funny. In once in eclipse, I quietened down everyone. And I kind of instructed them on how they should have done what they should have done. But anyway, that was funny. God kind of dealt with me on my heart and just said, you know, you're not doing it for them. You're not waiting and being polite and kind to people for them. You're doing it for me. So don't expect to thank you. You get it from me. And so now I don't even listen for it or wait for it. It doesn't matter if it comes or not because I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm not doing it for the thank you or the recognition or anything like that. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty or freedom. Do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Say, for the flesh. but through love, serve one another. So what does opportunity for the flesh means? It means don't respond with an eye for an eye. I'm going to get even with that guy. They're going to get what's coming to them, you know? They're going to be sorry they ever crossed me. You know, it's saying, don't you? You're forgiven. You're free. That's what it's saying. You're forgiven. Now, don't use the grace card to go and get even with someone. Don't say, hey, well, God's forgiven me, so I'm going to get even with them. I'm going to teach them a lesson. It says, don't go and live in the flesh now. It's saying, hey, live in the Spirit. It's saying, choose to love and serve others in love. Okay? Don't use your freedom as an opportunity to respond with hatred. Choose to love and serve people. That's saying, hey, just choose to be a blessing. Choose to outlove, outgive, outserve, expecting nothing in return. Okay, so your worldview and your philosophy is going to drive the direction of your relationships and largely determine their success. Okay, so we've got to have a biblical worldview if we want to have biblical results in relationships. Amen? Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the way that you think is going to determine the way that you live. The way that what you believe about people and relationships is going to determine what your experience of relationships is. So if you just have a string of bad relationships, then you need to check out what you believe. Because what you believe is determining what you're experiencing. Maybe you believe that you don't value people because God values people. When you value people, you'll start to see the fruit in that. In relationships, if you're maybe not seeking to be a blessing, but to be blessed in relationships, you're going to experience negative fruit there. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so what that's saying is, if you want to experience change in relationships, if you're wanting to have friends, if you're wanting to have people like you, and if you're wanting to be able to deal with bad relationships, then you've got to start to think like God thinks with regard to relationships. And you need to start to, if you want to see the transformation, start changing your way of thinking. Start changing your paradigm. Amen? Okay, so we're going to look at that now. But, you know, as long as you believe that you're the most important person in the world, you're going to experience negative fruit in relationships. Okay, and then if there's an altercation in a relationship, you're just going to move on to the next one. And then move on to the next one. And that's not God's heart. He wants you to have good relationships which have deep roots. Not just, you know, they're seasonal. They just die off and then you have to go find some new ones. That's not God's heart. And as long as you think you're the most important person in the world, you're in pride. And if you're in pride, then you're not going to be able to humble yourself to be able to see the change and get into reconciliation with someone. Because God's heart, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:19, around there. It says that we are ministers of reconciliation. So now we're new creations in Christ. We've been given a ministry of reconciliation. And so God has the ministry of reconciliation as a believer. You're there as a representative of Jesus to help people get reconciled to God. It's vertical reconciliation. We're there to help people get reconciled with God. God's done everything that He can to reconcile Himself to man. Now we're there to say, hey people, you know, of the world, reconcile to God. Accept His peace offer. Because He's at peace with you now. And when we receive that peace from God, and when we're reconciled with God, horizontal reconciliation can start to happen. And so our responsibility as believers is also to help people reconcile horizontally and to offer reconciliation to each other. But it starts here. It starts with relationship with God. It's not in your notes, but Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore being justified by faith. Justified, what does it mean? It means just as if you've never sinned. But it's more than that. Justified doesn't just mean just as if you've never sinned. Just as if you've never sinned gives the thought or the understanding that you've sinned. Now you have sinned, I've sinned, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. But when we receive Jesus, we've got no history. We're perfect. We're perfect. So justified doesn't mean, hey, he swept the sin under the rug. He's overlooking it. It means you're perfect now. There's no history. There's no track record of wrong in your life. He's forgiven you. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed your sin from you, he's forgiven you. Okay, so we're justified by faith, by believing, by right believing, by believing in Jesus. Okay, and now because of this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what this is saying is that because we believe right, because we have relationship with God, we have peace with God. And because we receive peace from God, when we receive the Prince of Peace, Jesus, into our lives, we're able to be peaceable with all men. They might not respond with peace, but we can extend that peace to other people. Amen? So I want to challenge you this week, you know, make sure that you're peaceable with all men. Extend peace towards people. If they don't respond with peace, you respond with peace. Amen? So the Bible's basically teaching us to value people because they're valuable to God, and then to seek to be a blessing and help better other people's lives. Value people because they're valuable to God. For God so loved the world, he gave his best. He gave Jesus. Value people. Seek to be a blessing and seek to be to help them enrich their lives. Don't worry about yourself. God will look after you. But seek to be a blessing. Now, I must say, I've taught on this one similar kind of thing years back. And it took me about 4 weeks. I'm not going to fit in everything I would like to say in this sermon. And we'll see how it goes. And maybe in the next term, we'll fit in a relationship series like this. Not relationship romantic, but just how to get along with people kind of message. But, you know, as I said, I just want to leave you with some practical point. With one practical point, really, on how to handle relationships. How to do your part. Okay, so that's what we're going to finish off with now. And we're going to start in 2 Timothy 2 verse 1. So what's your part? You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You then, my child, be strengthened. Or another translation says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's not saying be strong in grace. It's saying be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Okay. So what is grace? It's unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor from God. Paul, the senior leader, is writing to Timothy, the junior leader, in this scripture, and he's writing to him and he's giving him a leadership lesson. And he's saying, if you want to lead people effectively, be strong in grace. Be strong in what Jesus has done for you, not in what you can do for him. Be strong in his ability in you, not in your ability. Okay, now, this, I hope that you can get this. If you want to, you know, be able to handle relationships, I'm not going to say have good relationships, because you're going to have bad relationships. But if you want to be able to have good relationships and be able to manage the bad relationships well, then you've got to be strong in grace, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This is really the most important thing, and I hope you walk away with this, if nothing else, tonight. You need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in his unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. Be strong in what Jesus has done for you, not what you do for him. You know, people who are strong in what they do for God, people that are like, you know, this is what I do. I'm running the soup kitchen. You know, it's awesome to do all these things. I'm not knocking them. Okay, I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying people who boast in what they do for God, you know it's good. Amen. People who boast in what they're doing for God and not what he's done for them are usually legalistic. You guys aren't. The people who are boasting in what they do for God are usually like, you've got to do something for God. And then they judge everyone who isn't doing anything. Well, what are you doing for God? I'm at service 2 hours early, you know, and I'm praying up a storm. I'm using that as an example because there's no one here like that. Some of you visitors think that's terrible. The grace life. Anyway, so, you know, the point is that we've got to be strong in what Jesus has done for us and not what we do for him. If we're boasting in what we are doing for him, then we're probably just legalistic and we're in a performance-based relationship with him. But if we're strong in the grace, we're constantly focused on, hey, Jesus is awesome. Look at what he's done for me. And you know what that'll do? It will propel you forward to do the soup kitchen, to be at service early to help, to set up, to do things for God. It'll cause you to want to be a giver. It'll propel you forward to do the right thing. And in relationships, it'll cause you to love people unconditionally. If you're convinced of God's love for you, you'll love other people. Now, the reverse is true as well. Now, if I'm exposing you, it's fine. We love you, and there's grace, and you're going to grow, and you're going to mature, and you know, let's just hold on tight, because we're all getting there. We're all growing. Amen? If you know the person sitting next to you well, and they've got some work to do, and you know, in growing in relationship with God and in this area, then you can nudge them if you know them well. But there's grace, you know. You shouldn't nudge, but you should, you know. But you can if you want. You shouldn't, but you can. There's grace for that. But the point is if we're strong in God's love for us and in His grace for us, then we're going to love other people and be graceful towards them. If we are not graceful towards other people and loving towards other people, it's probably because we're not strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Why did Paul write to Timothy and say, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Because Paul knew if you're strong in grace, you're going to flow in grace. If you're not strong in grace, you're not going to flow in grace. You cannot flow in grace. You've got to have an inward flow to have an outward flow. If you want an outward flow, don't try and go and love people this week. Sounds contradictory, doesn't it? Don't go try and love people this week. What I'm saying is this week, go discover how much Jesus loves you and what He's done for you, and you will naturally start loving people more. When I got a revelation of grace, I became a nicer person. Some of you did too. Some of you still need the revelation. You know, but you can ask people around you. When you get a revelation of grace, it changes you. Amen? People want to hang out with you more. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 is probably my favorite scripture in the Bible, one of them. All scriptures are my favorite. But that one I like because it says that, then drew near the sinners and publicans, the riffraff, to hear Jesus. They drew near to hear Him. They were hanging out with Him because they wanted to hear what He had to say. We don't, you know, a lot of the world and sinners don't want to hang out with the church because they think we're judgmental. And that's largely because we are judgmental. That's because we don't know grace, so we're not operating in grace. But if you operate, if you've had a revelation of the love and grace of God, then unbelievers, the worst sinners out there, love hanging out with you because they feel accepted and loved. They don't feel like you're judging them. They feel like you're loving them. And they know maybe, hey, they're not perfect. And they know that you know they're not perfect. But hey, it's okay. Because Jesus loves you and I want to love you. Amen? So being strong in the grace is being strong in this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Most Christians don't know the scripture. I know that if you've been here a while, you do. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. God saying, I will not remember your sin anymore. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. When you realize how forgiven, you know, let me put it like this. Most Christians don't believe they're forgiven. They're constantly trying to get forgiveness from God. And you know one of the ways that they try and get forgiveness of God? Prayer and fasting. I've messed up so bad, I think I should fast this week. I've done it. I don't know if you have, but I've done it. I come out of those circles. Thank God I came out. Amen? So we're kind of like, I need to make right with God. Well, God made right with you, so you don't have to make right. All you need to do is accept the truth and just walk in it. You don't have to do anything. Just accept the truth. Walk in it. You're forgiven. If you're grounded and you believe that you're forgiven, that God is not holding anything against you. If you really believe He's not holding anything against you, you're going to be more gracious towards other people. When they miss the mark and they mess up, you're not going to come down on them like a house on, you know, like 10 times, like a, I don't know what, like 10 tons of bricks or whatever. You're not going to just kind of rip them apart. You're going to be like, it's okay. You know what grace will do? It'll make you more flexible. Some of you people need to hear this. I like my ducks in a row. I like things like this. Ask the full-time team. Ask the guys who serve. I like things in a certain way. But I'm very flexible. If things can't happen, it's okay. I've just come to that point where it's, you know what, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Everything works out for my good and His glory because I'm loved and I'm called according to His purposes. So it's going to be okay. I'm not going to fall apart. The world's not going to fall apart if it doesn't happen the way that Shane wants it. It's okay. I've got a strong opinion on how I want things done. If it doesn't happen, it's okay. Because grace has made me flexible. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break. Some proverbs somewhere. Somewhere in Proverbs. If you can Google it and find out, then we'll put it on the screen. It's a joke. It's not in Proverbs. Alicia, I know you're watching. It's not in Proverbs. It's in Psalms. Yeah, you're right there. So, you know, the point is that grace makes you flexible. Grace makes you flexible. Okay, you start to relax. Some of you need to relax. Amen? You're sitting next to someone who needs to relax. I'm joking. Don't put up your hand. You know, sometimes we just need to chill. And it's because we don't have a revelation of God's love and His grace that we're highly strung. Am I hitting a nerve? I hope I am. So, you know, when you're strong in grace, strong in receiving grace, then you're going to be strong in flowing in grace, in giving grace to other people. This is going to make you have more friends. If you don't know how to have friends, then just focus on this one thing. Have a revelation of grace, and it's going to change you. It's going to impact your life. Hey, and we want you on greeting outside, welcoming the people, because you're just the happiest thing on two legs. Amen? So, you know, what this means is you extend forgiveness towards people before they ask. You're not waiting for them to come and say sorry. Doesn't matter if they come and say sorry or not. You've forgiven them already. You know why? Because God's already done that with you. God doesn't forgive you when you say sorry. He's already forgiven you before you thought of saying sorry. It's polite to just go say, I'm sorry, God. If you want to say, please forgive me, say it. I'm not going to get hung up on words and stuff. But the truth is you're already forgiven. So relax. And imagine how people are going to like you so much if they don't have to kind of walk on eggshells around you all the time. Because I haven't said sorry yet. You know what, Jock, it's last week, you know, and he's waiting for you to say it. So he's just like, you know, and you're kind of like beating around the bush trying to, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. And, you know, you cry together and whatever you're doing, it's like, you know, it's like pathetic, actually. Just forgive them. Love them. Treat them like God treats you. You know why we don't treat each other like that? Because we don't believe God treats us like that. You treat other people the way that you think God treats you. I hope that that's hard for some of you to hear, because you need to change then. You treat people the way that you think God treats you. So if you're treating people badly, it's probably because you think God's treating you badly. He's judging you, so you're judging him. You know those guys who stand, if you're this person, we love you. Welcome to Grace Life. You know those people who stand on the streets with those big signs, turn or burn, you're going to hell? I've seen them. There's some in Stellenbosch. I don't know if they've been around for a while, but I've seen them. They think that God is just angry. They think that God is just angry. And that God, they're working for their salvation. They're trying to get forgiveness. That's why they're doing that. Who would do that? I mean, that's nuts. Who in their right mind would go stand on a street corner with a big placard and cause everyone to laugh at them? Even Christians, I laugh at them. You know, it's like, why would you do that? It's because you think God is judging you, and if you don't do this, God's not going to love you. And so we have this motivation to try and please God by doing stupid, crazy things. That's not good. I've never seen a placard get someone saved. If you have, please let me know. But I've never seen it do anything. Okay, except make people laugh. So the point is that we need to extend forgiveness before people ask. Then choose to love even when people don't deserve it. Because here's the thing. God loves you even though you're an idiot. God loves you when you're a moron. He loves you. He thinks you're awesome. And how many of you know you're not perfect? I know I mess up. I'm not perfect. I'm just saying that to try and identify with you guys. I really am perfect. I know I'm awesome, but, you know, I'm trying to identify with someone after the morning service said, you should share more about your struggles because you give this impression that you're perfect. I was like, I don't do that intentionally, but I am perfect. No, I'm joking. Yeah, I have struggles and stuff, and God loves me anyway. I mean, you just heard a bunch of humility there right now. Anyway. You know, seek to bless others even when they treat you badly. That'll irritate them. Don't do it to irritate them. Do it to bless them. Hey, you know, if someone's really just on your case all the time, be like, Lord, how can I bless this person? And then just move in the opposite spirit. If they're attacking you, find out what they love. If they like coffee, give them a coffee voucher or buy them some nice coffee beans or something. If they like chocolate, go to the office, give them a chocolate. Hey, I saw this, I thought you'd like it. They probably won't say thank you, but remember, you're not doing it for the thank you. It might take years before they say thank you, but just love them anyway. And the big one, which I've already spoken about, be flexible and willing to be accommodating. Be flexible and willing to be accommodating. God's got a perfect plan for your life. How often do you mess it up? He knows what you should be doing tomorrow. Most of us won't do it. He gives us many opportunities to witness to unbelievers, and a lot of us don't take it. And yet he's flexible and accommodating. It's okay. He'll give you another opportunity to fulfill your destiny tomorrow. You don't fulfill it today, and he'll give you another opportunity tomorrow. He's flexible and he's accommodating. Isn't that good news? When we realize how God is with us and we just receive that grace, that inward flow, it allows us to flow outwardly towards other people. So what I'm doing this evening is I'm not telling you, hey, go be perfect. I'm not saying go out and just love people and try your best and do your hardest. I'm not saying you need to go and do all of these things, because what that is it's a tree without fruit. And I'm saying, hey, go pick up apples and bananas and put them on this tree. That fruit doesn't have any life in it because it's a Christmas tree, Christian. You're putting all those decorations on and it's dead. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about real fruit. If you focus on the inward flow, you'll get the outward flow. If you want to flow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, if you want to flow in the fruit of the Spirit, if you want to flow in grace, focus on receiving that grace. Focus on how much God loves you. Focus on what he's done for you, and you'll start to operate in it. Amen. Last scripture, and then we'll close. It's the last scripture on the slides there, guys. Luke chapter 7, verse 47. It says, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little, loves little. So what Jesus is saying there is that he was able to identify how much someone understood that they were forgiven because they loved lots. Now, if we look at your life, we can probably see how much you understand about the grace of God, by how much you extend towards other people. But what this is also saying is that if you want to flow in the grace, you've got to receive the grace. If you want to love others and flow in his love, you've got to receive his love. You can't give what you don't have. Okay, when you know how much you're forgiven, you're going to love much. And how much are you forgiven? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. You're completely, utterly forgiven. That's freedom. You're completely forgiven. Doesn't matter what you've done. You're completely, utterly forgiven. You know, if you had an abortion, you're forgiven. You've killed someone, you're forgiven. It's bad things, you shouldn't do them. There's many bad things that you shouldn't do. The good news is God loves you and he's forgiven you. When you receive that, you're going to give that. People are going to want to hang out with you because they're going to want what you've got. They're going to want to hear what you've got to say. They're going to say, hey, you don't judge me. Well, if God isn't judging you, why should I judge you? You know, when I was praying before the service, one of the things I felt in my heart was that there'd be people coming to this evening who really just have messed up badly. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, you get a room full of people and there's someone who's messed up badly. Amen? I mean, so it's a no-brainer, but I really felt God put that on my heart. And God's just wanting you to know this evening, you're completely forgiven. You don't have to try and get any more forgiven because you're already forgiven. Your debt has been completely eradicated and paid for. You're forgiven. When you're taking communion, that's what we're celebrating. Complete forgiveness. I felt that there would be someone here who you're coming out of actually like wicker or witchcraft or something like that. Now, I don't know if that's you this evening, that you've been dabbling in Satanism or Wicca or witchcraft or something like that, but you're forgiven. That power is nothing compared to the power I have inside of me. If you're struggling with something like that or dabbled in something like that, come forward. We'll get rid of that power for you. We'll give you a better power. But God's already forgiven you, even if you haven't said sorry. Amen. Know how much you're forgiven. Receive the grace and you can flow in the grace. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. We just thank you for your love. We thank you that you're a good God and you've got good things in store for us, Father. And thank you that as we just receive your grace, we flow in your grace. And I pray for each one of us that this week specifically, we would just continuously meditate and focus on your love for us, your grace for us, that we're completely, utterly forgiven. And as we do that, I thank you that we're going to start to flow in your grace more and more and more, and that the people around us in our lives are going to be able to testify to it, that they can see a change in us because they're experiencing love. They're experiencing grace through us. Father, we want to be conduits of your love and your favor and your blessing and your grace. We want to be used by you. We want you to love people through us. And I thank you that as we receive your love, it's going to overflow out of us towards other people, and we're going to start to have better relationships. We realize and recognize that we cannot be friends with everyone, and not everyone will like us. And that's okay, because you like us. You love us. You're on our side. And if you can be for us, who can be against us? No one has a chance. So we just thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Father, that as we celebrate communion and what you've done for us, that we're able just to enjoy your presence and your love and receive whatever we need. Because you're already freely giving to us everything that we need for life and for godliness. It's already ours. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168. Or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.